Hi, and welcome to the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word, which is a hand car washing business located in Churchill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the hand car washing business. And we invite you to come by, get your car washed, let us work to earn the money that supports this ministry. It is my heart and passion to preach and teach God's Word in all of its fullness. We do this by teaching it in a verse-by-verse format, leaving nothing out, allowing neither the teacher nor the hearer to cherry-pick the Word of God. And so as we look at God and all of His fullness and the entire counsel of His Word, we are forced to address some unpleasant issues. Nonetheless, these are issues God wants us to address, or they wouldn't have been in His Word. So we continue. We are now in the chapter 8 of the Gospel of John. Jesus is talking to the hard-hearted Pharisees. He's letting them know that they are really stuck in their sins, they're stuck in their law, and that unless they come unto Him, Him who is life and love and light, they will be forever stuck in their sins for eternity. And so He tells them straight out in verse 21, as we looked at in our last teaching, Jesus says, "I am going away, and you will look for Me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." And this response, as we pick it up in verse 22, this made the Jews ask, will He kill Himself? Is that why He says, where I go, you cannot come? You know, they're asking these questions. Where will He go? Why can't I come? Will He kill Himself? Will He go over out into the wilderness? Will He scatter Himself among the Greeks? To which I reply, wake up and understand that this is not a temporal question Jesus is presenting to them. This isn't something that is designed to get them to look around their environment and try to figure out where Jesus is going. Jesus is speaking on a purely spiritual and eternal level. But you see, with all the retort questions that they're asking here, they conveniently miss out on six little words. And by six little words, I mean six big words. And those words were, in verse 21, you will die in your sins. You will die in your sin. So what does Jesus do? Well, He continued, verse 23, you are from below. I am from above. You are not of this, or of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Folks, I'm going to stop right there, because what I just read, that's as clear and as powerful as John 3:16. Everyone knows John 3:16, but this is about as clear-cut as you could paraphrase John 3:16. Jesus says, you're from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. You will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one that I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. That is as clear as it gets. And two more times, He tells them that. And in verse 25, their response is, who are you? It almost seems like they're getting it, doesn't it? No, unfortunately not. Jesus is speaking to deaf ears, and deaf ears have no problem with His claims because they don't hear Him. And how do I know this? Because He has told them already. In chapter 6, verse 58, He told them why He has come. In chapter 7, verse 33, He told them where He is going. And in chapter 8, verse 12, we read, He told them who He is. And in verse 16, He told them who sent Him. So Jesus has already very plainly told them who He is, why He came, who sent Him, and where He is going. And how do they respond in verse 25? Who are you? I mean, it's almost comical. Is that all they could say? Where is your father? Will he kill himself? Who are you? I mean, If it wasn't so sad, it would be comical. And so Jesus does all he can do. He answers him. He says, in response to the question, "Who are you?" "Just what I have been claiming all along," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world." They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. Man, talk about hard hearts and deaf ears. You know, when you tell someone about Jesus or God or heaven or Christianity and they don't understand, let me tell you something. It's not because of you. All right? I get it. You may not be a great evangelist and you may not be a great oral speaker. But if when you as clearly and plainly as Jesus is telling them here about God, when you clearly tell them about Jesus or about heaven or Christianity or forgiveness, when you clearly tell them about eternity with God, you know, you don't have to be a theologian to simply explain the simplicity of the gospel. And if they don't understand it, it's not because of you. Your job is to speak the words of truth. It is the Holy Spirit's job to bring them forward. It is the Holy Spirit's job. And the problem with bringing words that are Holy Spirit led is you have to have the Spirit to understand them. Fast. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So it's a simple matter of math. If you take away the one thing you need to understand, then there will be no understanding. But a person's inability to understand should never curtail your message, or should never curtail your desire to spread the message. And Jesus didn't let them do that. Verse 28, he says, "So Jesus said, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I will do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do whatever pleases him.' Even as he spoke, many put their faith in his name." Stopping there, you know, so far in chapter 8, if you've been listening to the last few messages, I've been pretty hard on the hearers of Jesus' word. You know, I've been pretty hard on the hard hearts of the Pharisees and the self-righteous religious Jews. And I've kind of made them out to be selfish, foolish, and obstinate. But I have done this myself before, and maybe you have too. Maybe you've got up on your own little arrogant high horse and looked down upon people. Maybe you've looked down upon those who are against Jesus. You know, I've read the stories, and I would read how the Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross, and I would burn with anger over how they can do this to my Savior, until I looked down and saw a hammer in my own hands. I would shake my head in disgust at Judas's betrayal until I reached my hand in my pocket and found silver of my own. I have frowned upon the rich ruler who wouldn't walk away from his riches, only to see how desperately I hoard and hold on to the money I have at times. And I have bashed these Jews about their lack of understanding until I questioned, how much do I really understand about God? Because I admit I don't know much. I might know the basics. But you see, these verse-by-verse studies of God's Word, they're designed to help us both understand the nature and the character of God. And they are also designed to help us both understand the nature and the character of our enemy. And we are to join God in the fight against the powers and principalities of this world. Friends, look around. Take a look. Take an inventory of how this world and this society is going. Take a look at the destruction we see amongst the youth today. The drugs that are destroying lives, the sexual promiscuity, the immorality of homosexuality and promiscuity. We see relationships, we see them being built upon wrong foundations. And then when they crumble and crack, we see the children being devastated in their wake. We see the politicians and the politics steering this country towards destruction. We see the intolerance of the Word of God in schools, in public places, and in government buildings. We see the arrogance and the pride of people who simply will not accept truth any longer. And then we go into the churches and we see those who call themselves God's people. We see them flocking towards preaching that will tickle the ears. We see the focus being upon the service and not upon God. We see the Word of God being brushed over and rarely quoted in the churches today. We see all of these things building up. And I see God with his eyes roaming to and fro, looking upon this earth for soldiers, for warriors to fight in the upcoming battle. Listen, if everything turned on a dime right now in this country and Christianity became outlawed and persecution became almost overnight an epidemic, how many of us out there can honestly say we could stand up against the enemy, that we could stand up and speak the truth in the face of our accusers? How many of you out there think they know the Word of God enough that they can defend themselves using the Word of God? I don't say this to shame anyone. I say this in hopes that it will prepare you or encourage you to get back into your Word, to get into a deeper study of God's Word and consequently a deeper relationship with the Lord Almighty. God is looking for warriors today. He doesn't want the half-hearted Christian who's just going through the motions. He's looking for the warrior who has already in their hearts declared, I can do no more but stand here and preach the word. Stand here and defend the word. He's looking for those who are not afraid to speak truth when truth is taboo, when truth is illegal, when truth is frowned upon. Today it comes in many forms. The form of hate speech and bigotry. We're accused of racism and social order. And it's easy to succumb. And the saddest part is there are hordes of pastors out there who have succumbed to this exact thing. And they have taken the Word of God and they have dumbed it down and they have cherry-picked it apart. And God help them on the day of judgment, because the Bible says that it is the teachers who will be judged more harshly. And it also says that we, the church, will be judged first. And when that judgment comes, I hope you're standing on the side of righteousness. And I hope my words today are going forth through the power of the Holy Spirit, because there's nothing in me that can bring these words with any power. But I pray before these messages are brought on that the Holy Spirit will indoctrinate them. And as they go forth and you hear them, that they will affect you in a way that only the Holy Spirit can. And my prayer today is that you will become a soldier for Christ and you will march on. Well, that's all the time we have today. May the Lord bless your day. And Once again, we encourage you to come to the Wash and Word, get your car washed, or go to washandword.com for all the information about this business and this ministry. Have a blessed day.